Lansing residents go to the polls next Tuesday to vote in their next primary election. Four incumbents on the city council are facing challengers, as well as Mayor Virge Bernero. In these final days leading up to the Lansing primary, Current State is examining the key races from the voters' perspective. Today we're talking about the race for two at-large seats on the Lansing City Council. The incumbents, Brian Jeffries and Kathy Dunbar, face four challengers. They are Ted O'Dell, Judy Brown Clark, Jonathan Smith, and Keith Smith. Here to talk about the issues and the job performances of at-large council members Brian Jeffries and Kathy Dunbar are two Lansing voters. We'll also talk about the challengers. Anita Beavers is a past president of the Colonial Village Neighborhood Association. Hi, Anita.
Hello.
And Catherine Mooney, who is president of Lansing's Northtown Neighborhood Association. Hi, Catherine.
Good morning, Mark.
Are there issues or topics that rise to the top for you as a voter, Anita?
Well, it's getting a council that works together is a very important part of what we're hoping to see.
Does the current council fall short, in your opinion, in that regard?
Sometimes, yes, it does.
Sometimes.
On some of the very important issue, there's quite a divide that seems to be persistent.
Is there an issue, though, that rises to the top? Beyond that, say, the cost of fire hydrants and street lights
That was one major issue. I think many of the voters felt that when the council worked so hard to have a budget and it was every item in there was vetoed by the mayor, I think that was a point where people thought, why are they not working together mm-hmm. at all?
Yeah. Catherine, what about you? What issues or topics rise to the top?
For me personally, I would say just advocating on behalf of the neighborhoods themselves and looking towards more project-based developments and ways to compromise between the private and public sector are what I'm looking for most when I'm considering our options for at-large candidates.
Okay. And tell us about your particular neighborhood. Who lives there? Where is it?
Oh, well, as Northtown Neighborhood, we are on the north side of Lansing.
That much we figured
yes,
out.
Yes, yes.
But how big is it?
So we cover about 1,500 homes in the North Lansing area. We go from the point where Oakland and Grand River split out through the border of Grosbeck Golf Course over to Lake Lansing and then coming pretty much right up to Old Town there. So we make kind of a haphazard L shape right at the corner of the city there.
In the public-private initiatives that you mm-hmm. referred to a minute ago, would you say that is a common concern of the people in your neighborhood?
Oh, I would certainly say so. There has been a longstanding history, I think, in Lansing of public-private attempts at partnership that have ended up burning one party or the other. So at least in our neighborhood, there is a fair amount of fear when we start working towards new initiatives that someone will come in, take over the process, and that the neighbors themselves will lose their voice. And as a community where our neighbors have struggled to keep their voice and to make sure that they're heard consistently, making sure that we have voices on council that are listening to the actual residents, that are advocating their opinions when looking at these new developments. Is definitely a concern.
How accessible, Anita, do you feel Brian, the incumbents have been, Brian Jeffries and Kathy Dunbar, terms of accessibility?
They've always been accessible.
Okay.
Especially, I think, to the neighborhood associations. They attend our meetings and listen to our concerns. I feel that almost every one of the council people is concerned about the neighborhoods, which I think at times is where the administration doesn't listen to what the council is saying about what the neighborhoods are looking for. And I think that part of the situation is what's lacking in getting things accomplished. Our neighborhood is one of about 1,400. And we have, it's an older established neighborhood.
This is the Colonial Village.
Yes, and it's, you know, there's the pre-war and post-war development, people moving up from living in apartments and moving into buying homes and then moving into larger homes. One of the things that, of course, has happened, and I'm sure it's all throughout the city, is when schools are closing, when you have what's going to happen to the empty schools, that affects the neighborhood.
Right.
So we need a council and an administration that works with the Lansing schools to make sure that those buildings are effectively used and something like Nile Wave doesn't happen again. I think the council addressed that.
Are you talking about the structure, or are you talking about the use of the school?
The use of the school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think also, I've known Mr. Jeffries for a long time. He's been involved in the area, in all areas, and he has always been someone who respects the neighbors, who listens, who is able to dissect what is happening and present a clear picture of what will happen if we do this.
Okay.
And I think one of the things that quite often happens is people don't look far enough ahead. They embrace something new coming in and say, oh, this will be so good. And then they don't realize, kind of like what happened with the rain gardens just recently.
Okay.
And things like that. And I think he's able to see what, if something happens, if we're going to do this, the casino, let's say, which I'm highly opposed to, what are the effects of that down the road?
We'll talk about the challengers here a little bit more in a minute. WKAR spoke with both Brian Jeffries and Kathy Dunbar about issues facing the city. Here is, let's go to Brian Jeffries, if we could, here in our interviews. All of the interviews involved Lansing's very uncertain fiscal future. Let's listen to part of what Brian Jeffries said about that.
We're at a tipping point in the city of Lansing. People can no longer afford to live here in terms of the amount of fees that we're putting on them. The taxes are maxed out, at least in this city at this time. And so now we've got to figure out a way of, you know, being able to continue to provide those core services that people expect, public safety, keeping our parks open and being able to use our parks, roads and sidewalks, all of those issues that make, you know, an environment that people enjoy, that want to raise their families and want to live here.
Catherine Mooney, does that huge challenge for the city play any role in your voting decisions?
Oh, most certainly it does. I mean, the recent cutbacks that have happened with city services over the past several years have had a great impact on our neighborhood, especially when we look at what options are available for extracurricular activities for youth, both in the school district and just around the Parks and Recs department. It absolutely does. What I think our biggest, or my personal biggest emphasis point is that, yes, while we're looking at the fact that we are on a tipping point financially for the city, while we do have a lot of tough decisions that we're making, I want to make sure that my voice on council is not coming at it from a place of what if something goes wrong, or, you know, perfecting things to death or making sure that we have thought 20 years in advance. We need to work towards those things, but we can't be afraid to fail forward, and we can't be afraid to try new things. And so that's my biggest concern, that as we're coming up to this tipping point, we have hard decisions to make, obviously, but we have to make sure that those decisions are made responsibly and with the understanding that if we take a wrong step in our pursuit of good outcomes, that's okay and that we can step back on the path. And that's something that I haven't seen very much from Mr. Jeffries in the past, is a willingness to kind of take a step out of line with the understanding that we can correct and move forward if necessary.
Does the fiscal predicament that can't bode very well for your concern over initiatives in the Northtown neighborhood?
You know, we're the North Side, man. We do it ourselves.
Okay.
That's our goal, right? Like, we're pretty used to not having support in city services over there.
Okay.
So for us, these new fiscal concerns are just one more realization that neighbors have to come together to do what neighbors need to do for each other.
I detect kind of a go-it-alone kind of attitude there.
Well, the good news is with 1,500 homes, you don't feel very alone.
Okay. Let's get into a comment that we got from Kathy Dunbar as well, who is also one of the at-large. Let's clarify which wards you live in, though, first here. Catherine, what ward do you live in?
We're in the first ward, represented by Councilwoman Jody Washington.
Okay, Jody Washington in the first. Anita, what about you?
Well, we have an interesting situation. We are divided now. We have Aileen and Jessica Yarko.
Okay, so you're part in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And part in Aileen, and that is which one?
The third.
The third.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to a comment Kathy Dunbar, one of the other incumbents, made here to WKAR. She brought up a recurring topic, the perception of the city council as dysfunctional.
An innocent bystander coming into the city, flipping through the channels on any given night, seeing dysfunction occur on the television is not good for anyone involved. Seeing the fights between certain factions in the mayor's office, seeing the fights that happen among council members on the floor, there's a respect that needs to happen on all sides, and on many occasions it doesn't happen, and it plays out very, very dysfunctionally.
Anita, this plays off on your very first comments here this morning. You would like to see a more cohesive council, so I'm inclined to think you're on board with everything Kathy Dunbar just said.
Yes, I am. I think the need to have a council that works together is the most important thing for having the city reach its goals.
I mean, there are two,
there are two factions.
There are two blocks on the city council. Who needs to be working with whom? I can put it that way.
Well, actually, they all need to be working with each other. I think it's important that when a council forms an opinion as a group, and then we have the dissenters who tend to, and this is pretty much what people perceive, that there are several people who will go with the mayor, and then there are the, and so there's that swing that happens, and it's commonly thought, all right, the mayor's going to get his way because he has the people that will follow him. I feel that sometimes we need that dissenting group, that group that is with the administration, to stop and realize that it's the council's job to work as a group.
But what I heard you say at the beginning was that what I took you to mean was that both sides need to come closer to the middle.
Yes, they need to bring themselves together and present a unified picture of how they see the city moving forward. I often see them having a problem with the administration presenting all the information. I don't know how often it happens, but they'll be asking for information and they don't have it. They'll get some, and it's last minute from the administration. So they're having to work hard to make decisions. And I feel sometimes that it's just a matter of when and how can you work together instead of continuing to say, no, it's going to be my way.
Let's move on quickly to one of the challengers. Current State reached out to all four challengers running for at-large council seats. We received no response from Jonathan Smith, Keith Smith, and Judy Brown Clark. But we did hear from Ted O'Dell, politically quite an active guy and pretty experienced in local and county politics around Michigan. One of his comments was, our city government must strive every day to find ways to create more jobs inside the city of Lansing without giving continued outrageous corporate tax abatements. Catherine, are the corporate tax abatements the city's offering outrageous?
I mean, I think you have to look at it abatement by abatement, right? Anytime you have tax breaks, in my opinion, that go out to a private organization, You can judge the level of ridiculosity, if you will, based on the level of accountability that's placed to go along with those abatements. So if we're going to be giving private organizations the freedom to not pay into our coffers as a city, then we also need to be holding them to very strict standards as to what their behavior and accountability measures are to the residents and to the city themselves.
We have to leave it at that, unfortunately. Catherine Mooney, president of Lansing's Northtown Neighborhood Association, Anita Beavers, past president of the Colonial Village Neighborhood Association. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.